Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help you save. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.
I'm Holly.
And I'm Bridget.
And this is Girls Next Level.
Welcome back to Girls Next Level podcast. So today we are going to be talking about the full Monte Carlo, which was our second trip to Europe. And I always talk about how when we review these episodes, there's like weird parallels in my life come up, always good stuff. And this is so weird because I knew for a while that my ex-husband wanted to take our kids to Italy to visit family because his family's from Italy over the summer. And I thought he was going to take the kids for like 2 weeks. And I'm like, okay, that's going to be, you know, dad time. And he was like, oh, you should meet us over there if you can. But I was like, no, it's too expensive, too much. Like I got a lot of work to do. Like that can just like be your time. But then it turned out he was going to be gone for like 3 weeks total and during Forrest's birthday. So I'm like, well, I have to go. Like that's way too long to be away from the kids. And obviously I can't miss Forrest's birthday. So I made plans to go over there and I was like coordinating with him and his assistants, like, where should I stay and blah, blah, blah. And thinking Italy. And he goes, oh, well, actually, we're going to be staying in Nice and like driving to Bordighera. So I'm going to the south of France at the same time we're reviewing south of France. And like, I was never even planning on doing that at all. It's just so weird how these coincidences keep popping up.
I know. And I, when you told me that, I was like, damn, I need to start manifesting this. Like,
just say it's going to happen, but only positive stuff.
Yes.
Because it's only been positive stuff, but it's wild to me how these things keep lining up. And I'm excited to see what's to come.
Yeah. And they're big things too.
Yeah.
I mean, some of them are tiny, but lately it's been big ones.
Yeah, 100%.
Which is cool. All right. Are we going to go on the time machine?
Back in the grotto time machine. It's funny because I always picture like going down in like a Disneyland submarine too, even though there's not really. Like,
I know. Why do I feel that way? Why do I feel like there's bubbles and we're going underwater? And
so the full Monte Carlo, this episode first aired January 13th, 2008. The top song was Still Low by Flo Rida.
Hey, it's still one of my top songs.
I know. And I'm going to be repeating that over and over because this would be like record setting for that year because it was the longest running single of 2008 to hold the top spot. It held it for 10 weeks.
Awesome.
So I might be bringing up some other song genres. Yeah. In the future, because that's what I do when it repeats. So I don't sound like a broken record. I'll be like, well, the top country song was this or the top blah, 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 or the top song in Europe was this. The top movie was The Bucket List. And the number two movie was First Sunday, which I don't know what that is. Sounds football.
It does sound football.
Don't know what it is off the top of my head.
But I remember watching Bucket List.
Yes.
And I'm still like weirded out that that is how bucket list got started.
The term.
Yeah.
Because it seems older than that.
I swear people were saying it before that.
I mean, it makes sense to me because I remember when that movie came out, I remember thinking, oh, that makes sense. I should make a bucket list. You know, it seemed like a new thing to me at the time, but it does. It's such a good idea. It seems like it's been said since the beginning of time.
Yeah, I swear it was.
Definitely deeper than 2008.
Yeah.
And it's Nick a Mandela makes, effect.
I think
sure.
So. And Nick makes fun of me anytime I say it. He's like, don't call it your bucket list. That's an old people thing. Like,
yeah.
He doesn't like it.
So a couple weeks ago when we were talking about the Mary O'Connor episode, we talked about how we saw footage, like modern day footage of the what used to be the Playboy Mansion, now somebody's home, and how it made me kind of emotional. And the opener to this episode kind of reminded me of that because it was very like, I mean, it's a typical mansion opener. We talk about this all the time, but it's very much the birds, the lawn, the backyard, the idyllic world up there.
Well, you know what's interesting that you say that? This first spot kind of made me nostalgic because it starts out in Mary's office and Dick Rosenzweig comes in. And I don't know why, but for some reason,
he brings you back.
It did. It did really bring me back. And for those that don't know, like, he was one of the executives of Playboy. His office was right there at the mansion. And if we were in Mary's office and he had anything that came through that was relevant to us, mm-hmm. a lot of times he would come in and do just this, what he's doing with Hef right here. Yeah. Or a lot of times he was in talking to Hef and I would interrupt and come plop down and listen to what he was telling Hef. But he was very much in Hef's ear too, not as much as Mary, yeah. but like, definitely as far as like things we should be doing or shouldn't be doing or direction of things. And so when he comes in and starts telling Hef that he has great news for him, I was like, this like brings me way back. And did I tell you when I went and visited Hef's grave that Dick Rosenzweig is also buried in the same cemetery?
I thought you were going to say he was there. And I was
like, no, he passed yeah. too, which is weird because in my head, even
he
though
he seems like he should be so much younger than Hef, even though I yes. don't think he's that much younger, he seemed like a generation younger.
Yes.
So, I don't know exactly how old he was, but I know he did start in like almost the very beginning with Playboy. So he would have been similar in age, maybe like 7 years younger.
But it's
something.
One of those things that just messes with your head. I like know. It just doesn't seem right.
It feels like he should still be around.
Yes.
I feel like he was still around a little bit after I wrote my book because I think I saw him from a distance at the Beverly Hills Hotel and was like, oh, shit. And like didn't want to be seen.
2020, he died. Well, anyway, so they're in the office and he says to Hef, oh, got great news for you. We got a fax, which
the hat is a blast from the past.
You know what? Some people still use it, though, because I've been asked by like a doctor's office, oh, can you fax it over? And I'm like,
oh, I've heard that from doctor's offices, too.
I'm like, no, nobody does fax anymore.
Yeah, nobody has a fax.
That doesn't exist. but I guess it does in doctor's offices. Yeah. He said, we got a fax from Monte Carlo from Prince Albert, and he's invited the girls, he said, to, he says, the 49th annual television festival, and they have invited a guest to go along with him. And he points to Hef.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
And I wonder if it was really like that. Like, I wonder if they reached out agency style and was like, oh, we want to invite the girls. But then they found out that if the girls are going to come, Hef's coming too.
I can't imagine that they wouldn't be like, we want the girls and Hef to come.
Well, I know that to get Hef to go, they had to like go back and like renegotiate with them and be like, well, you have to send him private plane and this is how much it costs. So it was like a whole thing.
Yeah. So I don't know. Maybe they were trying to just get us.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't know if Dick is saying that as a joke for the show, like, haha, funny.
Yeah.
Or if that's how it really was. And then Hef was like, wait, no, if they're going to go, I'm going to go. And wouldn't that be fun to bring the show? And the whole point of this television festival is like to get publicity for Monte Carlo.
Yeah.
So they probably, maybe they thought, oh, yeah, we should have it filmed, which I write later in my notes, like, I'm shocked we were allowed to film everything we were allowed to film. But then again, the whole point of this festival was like publicity.
Right. And late, I have our actual invitation. So he says that they got it via fax and maybe the original mm-hmm. did come via fax, but we actually got mailed official invitations. And I do have those that, of course, I'll put on our Patreon. But it was not the 49th, like he says. It was like the 47th or something, 46th or something. But little things, just correcting as we go.
You know what I'm so bummed about is I got invited to go back in the Holly's World era, but I couldn't go because Peep Show wouldn't let me take a week off in summer.
Bummer.
I know, bummed.
It, you know, well, we'll get to it, but I was like, I would totally go back to this again.
100%. It was such a good deal because as you'll see later in the episode, like, the only obligation we had was to show up to this pavilion and do press for mm-hmm. a couple days. And you just sit there and just are interviewed by people. It wasn't even like, because I always say during this era, I hated doing press, but I don't remember anything being unpleasant back then. It was just like,
well, I do know that basic. You and Kendra run off and go out to the beach and ditch some of the press.
We did, but only because like the schedule was kind of weird. Like I still have my schedule and it's kind of like every 15-minute increments, there's a different outlet you're supposed to talk to. But then there would be like weird breaks and we're mm-hmm. like, are we supposed to stay here? Are we supposed to not?
Yeah.
Or I think it got to the point where there were some scheduled, but they like weren't showing up.
Oh, yeah.
So we were like, and I think all three of us went down to the beach and were like skipping rocks and stuff. Like I have a photo of it.
Funny.
Which, speaking of photos, so we both had a ton of photos from the Monte Carlo and the Saint-Tropez leg of this trip that we put up on the Patreon, but neither of us have photos from Paris, and we contract contacted the photographer from the trip, James, to see if he had any photos. And he goes, oh yeah, I do. But then he looked and said he doesn't. And I know photos were taken because there's one of us in front of the Arc de Triomphe in our Girls Next Door coffee table book.
Yeah.
So I know they exist. And I took some on my camera too that I very clearly remember the prints from, like at Père Lachaise Cemetery and yes. like all these photos. I can't find a stitch from Paris.
I can't either. And I know for a fact on your camera or mine, I don't know whose it was, but on a personal camera, we definitely have pictures from Père Lachaise. I have pictures standing next to some of the ornate tombs and like mausoleums and everything. So I know that there's pictures out there.
It's very, I mean, as we're filming this, it's Mercury retrograde. So maybe that's to blame, but it's almost mystical how we're all missing all the Paris photos.
Yeah, because James was for sure that he had them.
Yeah.
And then he went back and he's like, for some reason, I don't have those. Yeah. I have like all of the previous trip.
Yeah. And a glut from Monte Carlo and Saint-Tropez. Like I was like, damn, I have a lot of pictures from these.
Yeah.
It's so weird.
It is weird.
Bizarre. The universe doesn't want us to have it for some reason.
Going back to this whole thing with Dick too, saying this to Hef, I just feel like Hef wouldn't like it to come across this way either. So I'm kind of surprised they left it in this way.
I think just because it's such a funny joke.
Yeah, maybe.
And maybe that's a sign that it was just a joke. Like maybe he was really invited because had it been the other way around, maybe he wouldn't have been so keen on it.
Yeah. So in interview, you say it's a big honor to be invited to the Monte Carlo Television Festival. Prince Albert personally invites people from different television shows to come. So it was really surprising to be invited. And I do think it was surprising because we never
still surprised we were invited because we were never considered like A-list on any Hollywood level at all. And I mean, I guess in Europe, they kind of think of things a little bit differently and they're not going to think of Playboy as trashy because they don't care about nudity as much. But still, I'm surprised we were invited.
Yeah. And then in interview, they just has me kind of saying that I've never met anybody of royal stature before. And it's exciting because Prince Albert is the son of Prince Rainier and Grace Kelly, who is one of Hef's favorite Hollywood actresses. And then back in the office, Hef says Cary Grant and Grace Kelly, and Mary says and James Bond. And Hef says, yes, I think the girls are going to like that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know, you need to protect your skin from the sun. But what if you could protect it from things like collagen loss and inflammation, and even repair some of the damage that you did when you were younger? The good news is that you can, something I learned from my scientist friends at OneSkin. I've been using their whole line of mineral SPFs for the face, body, and lips lately. Not only do they protect your skin from UV damage now, they work at the cellular level to help repair the sun damage I did in my 20s when I was tanning all the time. My skin feels smoother and looks more even ever since I've started using these products. The face SPF is super lightweight, breathable, and comes in tinted and untinted. I love a tinted SPF. The body SPF is water resistant and helps prevent collagen loss. And the new lip SPF hydrates instantly and is scientifically proven to keep your lips healthy, bouncy, and firm. The whole line is made with mineral, non-nano zinc oxide, antioxidants like vitamin C, and the OS1 peptide, so you get protection, nourishment, and repair in one simple step. It's advanced sun care that performs like skincare. Try them all with 15% off your first purchase by using code NEXTLEVEL at oneskin.co. I've told you guys before, when I travel, I love to take my OneSkin travel kit with me. I always use the eye, face, and body formulas, and they keep my skin feeling so hydrated even throughout all that travel. I'm going on a trip. I'm taking the SPF with me, and I'm very excited about it. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. For a limited time, you can try OneSkin with 15% off using code NEXTLEVEL at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code NEXTLEVEL. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you.
When then we cut to Kendra's room.
Messy room. And they show one shot of it and it's messy. And I'm like, okay. And then they pull away and it's messier than I've ever seen it.
That's exactly what I wrote.
Happened?
I wrote worse than ever. What is going on here?
I mean, I guess it makes sense because we were all busier than ever and she was like traveling a lot. So I guess it makes sense, but holy cow.
My brain would not be able to sit still. Like I would be, that creates chaos for me in my head. Like I have to have things put away.
Yeah, it'd be hard. I'm just thinking about, because I'm currently in the process of like this purge I've been doing forever in my LA house. And sometimes it gets confusing. Like when you pull out all the stuff for a purge and it's that messy, I pause and it's like, I get stuck. Like, wait, where do I start?
Oh,
it's
me
like I'm
too.
A robot that like went offline.
It absolutely gets worse before it gets better. And mm-hmm. There's like a point when you pull everything out and then you have to put it back in where it's like just straight overwhelming.
Oh, speaking of, I'm doing a purge at my house. So I found a couple things I meant to give you a long time ago and one hand-me-down.
What?
Yeah.
It's a cute bag too.
I'm finding all the stuff I forgot I had.
Ooh.
So those I found like 2 years ago when Trish and I went to the Le Creuset outlet and I just like, they've been buried in my house and I forgot to give them to you.
Oh my God, it's so cute. You guys, it has little bats on it.
Casserole pie dishes and it has their Halloween edition.
I didn't even know they did Halloween
yeah.
edition.
Oh yeah, they do Halloween every now and again.
And there's bats on the lid too. That is so cute.
Is it pronounced Le Creuset or Le Creuset? Weigh in the comments. I could be doing
it. Is the other one the same mm-hmm. thing? Okay, and then?
The other one's a hand-me-down.
Oh my gosh.
I feel like you need it.
Yes.
For those who aren't watching the video version, it's a ghost hunting device, a ghost hunting detecting device. And it's really cool because it's a coffin-shaped music box and it has a motion sensor on it. So the idea is you leave it somewhere and it's supposed to detect motion. And, you know, you're presumably alone in some creepy haunted house ghost hunting. And all of a sudden you'll hear a music box go off, which is so eerie.
It's super creepy.
Yeah. But because of my recent breakup, I can't stand seeing ghost hunting equipment around my house. So you can have it.
Oh, so to my benefit.
Yeah.
I love it. No, I love that piece of equipment. I never got one because they're kind of expensive and there's mm-hmm. other things that do the same thing yeah. for less, even though I like that they're shaped as a coffin yeah. and I like the music that they play. Anyway, Martin, mm-hmm. who I just recently had on my podcast, he started doing some paranormal equipment and he made me a coffin one with like the thing on it too. So I have,
oh cute,
it's not the same yeah. one, but I have like two now.
Oh cute.
Yeah, so thank you, I'm super excited. You can never have too much ghost hunting equipment.
Not at all. I feel like you need as many mouse traps as you can get for any given session.
Definitely. So we're back in Kendra's messy room and she says, I can't wait to see the prince. I heard he's a really good guy, and it's kind of funny that I get to spend my birthday with him. I just can't wait to party on with him. I know he's a playboy. I know he's not like, I know there's another side to that motherfucker.
Okay, how do we feel about the way they're setting up the prince in this episode? What's your takeaway?
I feel like it's a little weird. And I don't know, like, right here, like, I'm not sure which direction they're trying to take it yet.
Yeah.
Like, are they trying to make it like, oh, he's cool and everything?
Or are they trying, because I feel like there's an underlying thread and it's not too strong. Like, obviously, they can't go crazy with it because we're supposed to be Hef's girlfriends. But I feel like throughout this episode, there's kind of a thread of, are one of the girls going to land the prince?
Yes.
Which
there
is weird.
A little bit of that too.
Like I can see why they would go with this in any other show featuring three young women. But the fact that we're all supposed to be Hef's girlfriends, I'm surprised they're even hinting at that at all.
Yeah.
Although maybe not surprised because just the way the relationship was going at that time.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's weird. But I do feel like there's that thread there. And even to the point later on in the episode that we'll get to when Mary is talking to you guys about meeting the prince and stuff and Kendra has her boob out and stuff. I feel yeah. like there's this thread is like, ooh, are one of the girls going to get the prince's attention?
Specifically Kendra.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like they do it with you too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like it's kind of there.
But I think too that it's a little disrespectful, like the way.
To the prince or to Hef?
Well, I guess to Hef too, but like I was thinking to the prince, like the way, like Kendra's saying, I know there's another side to that motherfucker.
Well,
like you're
he
talking
wasn't
about
happy
a
about
no,
it.
No, I know. We're going to get to all of yeah. that. But like,
we never got invited back as a threesome and we could have, we were still a crew that, you know, the next year we could have got invited back. But
yeah.
They invited the Kardashians instead. And I think that might have been why.
And it gets worse, this yeah. stuff in here. Also, I have a little side note here. So, Keith and his girlfriend at this time are coming with us, but they very purposely keep cutting them out. Mm-hmm. And I feel like they do that almost on every trip, kind of like yeah. they cut them out a lot. But on this one, it's very purposeful. And we will get into that. Yeah. It's the story all of you guys have been waiting for.
Yeah.
Some people were mad at us because we didn't talk about it on the last Europe episode, but it wasn't on
yeah,
that
it was
episode.
This trip.
It's this trip.
Mm-hmm.
It cuts to you with all your matching Louis Vuitton luggage packed up. And in an interview, you say, on the way to Monte Carlo, we have to make two stops because if I'm going to go all the way to Europe, I have to go back to Paris again. And it's Kendra's birthday and she really wants to see Saint-Tropez.
I begged to go back to Paris because, as you guys probably know, I was in the mindset of that time, like, I'm going to marry this guy and I'm never going to get to travel again.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm going to take this trip. Can we please go back to Paris? And I'm shocked he said yes.
Yeah.
I mean, not that it's that far out of the way to do that on the way. And, you know, we are filming, so it's for the show. But I'm shocked he agreed to that.
Yeah.
Shocked, shocked, shocked.
Yeah.
And then Kendra wanted to go to Saint-Tropez and he approved that too. Did you request anything or did you not care?
I think I was just excited yeah. to be going to any of those places. So I was like, I'm good with that. I mean, you can't go wrong with Paris, Saint-Tropez, and Monte Carlo.
Yeah. And when I say, my voiceover says, and since it was her birthday, Kendra really wanted to see Saint-Tropez. It's so frank-invited.
So it shows us in the Great Hall and our PJs taking photos and we're about to head out. And on the way to the limo, Hef looks at the camera and says, we're ready to go traveling, which I feel like is funny given what's happening next.
Yeah.
So we're all in the limo and we're driving and we're almost to the freeway, you guys. And Kendra says, so now does everyone have their passports? Kendra, of all people.
Yeah.
And Hef goes, wait a minute. I don't have my passport. And I'm looking at him totally like yeah. smirking and laughing because I think he's full on joking because mm-hmm. no way
yeah.
does he not have his passport. Well, he didn't have his passport.
And you know what's weird about that is he says later that he never has had to handle his own passport ever. And I was thinking, that's weird. But I guess it makes sense because pre-Playboy, I don't think he ever went out of the country. And post-Playboy, he has enough money that everybody's handling his shit for him.
Yeah.
But how does he know he didn't bring his passport if he hasn't touched his passport?
I know. That's what I was wondering too. Maybe because somebody at least says something to him, like, I have your passport, and nobody did.
Maybe he has to hand it off to somebody because he does go back and unlocks it from that drawer in his room.
Oh, yes.
Maybe when he says, I haven't handled my passport, maybe he means like while they're at the airport or while they're traveling
right.
or something. Maybe
but
that's
yeah,
what he
does have to go unlock it
yeah.
and get it out. So nobody asked him to do that. And it turns out Mary forgot hers too.
Yeah, that's weird.
And so we're pulled over and doomsday music is playing.
It's funny because we're all in pajamas because we're planning on trying to sleep on the plane. It's just funny to see Hef in his flannel pajamas, but with the smoking jacket over it. And then his giant white, like, they're not orthopedic socks, but they look like that's what they are. It's just like, and Kendra has a really cute hoodie on and it has like a cartoon character of her on the sleeve.
Yeah.
It's so stinking cute.
Yeah. And then in an interview, you say, uh-oh, somebody forgot to pack Hef's passport and it wasn't my responsibility.
Yeah.
But then I wanted to talk a little bit, too, about, like, you can see Hef's attitude kind of come through in here in this scene.
Oh, I didn't notice.
And I wrote in my notes, I know someone dropped the ball, but at the end of the day, isn't it more his responsibility to make sure he's got it?
Yeah.
I mean, he's the one that has to unlock the door and mm-hmm. pull it out. And then that's when he's talking about he's never had to, you know, do his own passport or anything. So he's just clarifying for us that it's not his responsibility either.
And then there's a funny gag with a Hef voiceover that says, wait, this is Mary's.
Yeah.
Meaning, like, the passport. And then they have a screeching noise and show Kendra's face looking confused.
In commentary, Kendra says that she was totally stoned in that scene.
That's funny.
And still she remembered the passports.
Yeah.
Also in commentary, you say when stuff like this happens that you just like to hide.
Oh, yeah. Like when he gets pissy, I just like sink into a corner.
That's exactly what you said. Yeah. Exact word for word. And I say, well, you have to. Otherwise, and then you kind of cut me off. But what I was going to say is otherwise you'll get your head bit off.
Yeah, 100%. Like you don't want to get caught in the line of fire.
Yeah. And you just say, I go catatonic.
Yeah.
And then Kendra says, well, at least it's a real moment captured on camera, which is true. Mm-hmm.
You guys, I'm so excited to tell you about our newest sponsor, Koyuchi. Koyuchi is in a league of its own when it comes to bedding, bath, and home products. And I should know, I just got a sheet set, a spa robe. Their organic crinkled percale sheet set is the key to a cooler, healthier sleep year round. So as you guys know, I'm super into health, biohacking, all the things. So it was really important to me to find some non-toxic sheets that looked great on my bed, came in great colors, felt super comfortable. And I got a set of the Koyuchi sateen sheets in the dreamiest blue color. They feel so cool and soft at night. I get an amazing night's sleep on these. And they feel great because I know there's not any toxic junk in this product. Koyuchi is committed to ethical production. The organic crinkled percale sheets are naturally cooling for a restful sleep and certified to be free of toxins and harmful chemicals that could seep into your skin. You can sleep well and safely with Koyuchi. They also give you effortless style. The subtle crinkle effect means no ironing or fussing is needed. They have vintage patterns, peaceful botanicals, and calming hues to bring the natural world right into your home. And with every wash, these sheets just get softer and softer. So there's no pilling, no tearing. These are crafted to last. They create luxury products that you can feel good about, whether it's bedding or bath towels, table linens, crib sheets, so important, or spa robes. All of Koyuchi's products are the absolute highest quality, made with natural fibers, low impact dyes, and certified fair trade. If you want healthy, handcrafted luxury bedding that lasts a lifetime, you need Koyuchi. Get 15% off when you visit koyuchi.com/level. That's koyuchi.com/level to get 15% off. koyuchi.com/level.
Then we were like just kind of speculating in commentary, like what happens if you get all the way over there and then realize you didn't have your passport?
Yeah, like on private planes, are they required to make sure you have your passport before you take off?
I don't know.
Because what if you flew all the way over there?
I don't know what happens.
Oh my God.
I don't know if there's a way that they can electronically look it up. And if there is now, I don't know if there was then.
Right.
I don't know.
I mean, the thought of that happening to us with his attitude.
Yeah. And then I say, well, at least we were private flying private because we have a little bit of leeway. If we were flying commercial, we probably would have missed our flight. Mm-hmm. And then we say, oh, yeah, private jets. Those days are over.
I know. Because we're doing this commentary, the DVD commentary after we left.
Yeah. But I can't believe him and Mary both forgot it.
I know. That's so weird.
And what's weird about it, too, is typically they are nagging us to death about stuff like
every that. Little thing. Yeah.
And there's like all kinds of notes all over our itineraries usually and notes outside our door and like just like, OK, I get it already. I have my passport packed. So it's very weird.
Yeah.
That this got forgotten.
100%.
Do you think it's weird that there's no plane footage?
Of us on our way over there?
Yeah. Because I felt like it was a really cool plane. And I feel like the fact that there was like a huge glamorous like marble bathroom. And I remember washing my face and putting on my moisturizer. And like there was a shower in there and like nice bedrooms and stuff like that. I just feel like I can't believe they don't get the camera crew is on the plane with mm-hmm. us. Can't believe they don't get any of this footage because it's such a unique situation.
It's like an aspirational, fun thing to see.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't remember that plane very well for some reason. I must have been running off straight to go to sleep.
Yeah, maybe. And I think that this is the trip, but I'm not positive. But I was sleeping and all of a sudden there was this massive boom and the plane dropped like in altitude, like took my stomach away
during that.
And I was laying in bed going, are we dying? Like, what just happened? Like, it felt like everything was under control again, but it was the loudest boom and it was this drop. And so I was like, no, I can't go to sleep. I have to know what's going on. So I get up and I go walking out into the living room, and a flight attendant comes and she's like, is everything okay? Can I help you with something? And I was like, what was that noise? And she's like, oh, we hit the wake of a jet.
Ooh.
And I don't know. Like, I didn't even know that was a thing.
That's scary. We always had those weird things happen, like the explosion.
Or the smoking of the equipment. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure it was this flight. And I was like, that was so scary because it was so loud and the drop in altitude. Oh, like, man. I don't know how far we dropped, but enough to where I felt it in my stomach, you know? Damn.
I think I slept right through that. The scariest plane ride I remember was when we went to Orlando to go to Disney World in 2004. It was just so turbulent.
Oh,
like it really bothered me because it was so turbulent for so long.
Well, that one was cool to me because the pilots let Kendra and I come and sit in the cockpit. Mm-hmm. And there's two like jump
seats. Oh, that's why it was so turbulent.
Because we were flying. That was Kendra and I flying the plane. No. But as we were landing, it was so foggy. You couldn't see anything. And the cockpit starts like lights start flashing. These are just warning signs for like the pilots. And it's like 500 feet, 400, 300, 200. And like you see nothing but fog. And then it's like 50, 40, 30. And it's like, and Kendra and I are like, and then all of a sudden, boom, you hit the ground and it lands. But like you don't see you do not see the runway. You don't see anything. All you have is these flashing lights and this countdown of how close you are to hitting the ground. And we're just like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. It was scary.
Oh no.
It was so scary, but still amazing experiences. So we land and of course, B-roll of Paris.
Yeah. I remember that trip to Paris, which I think we were only there like maybe a day or day and a half. But yeah. I remember it being so fun because we got to fit in so many things that we wanted to do and didn't get in on the first trip, like Arc de Triomphe, I'm going to Montmartre, Père Lachaise, which we always wanted to see, and some of the restaurants we tried are still like favorites to this day. But you know what wasn't so good? Do you remember when we saw the Lido show?
Yeah, I posted pictures on our Patreon of that because that's the one thing I have photo from.
I hated that show.
Did you?
Yeah, and I might have even been the one who like requested to go see that show. But I was so jet lagged and it was so long.
Yeah.
It was the longest show and it just was very, very dated at that time. Like they would replace it a few years later, but it was due for a replacement. It was...
Wait, the Lido it's not a show anymore?
It's not there at all anymore. But they put in between that show that we saw and it closing, they had a new show that was done by Franco Dragone. And if you don't know, Franco Dragone was the guy who directed like all the big Cirque shows like He did Le Rêve that was at the Wynn and stuff. So he's very genius. But I have a funny story about him. So when Peep Show opened, I wasn't in it the first 3 months. I didn't open it. But everybody told me that Franco Dragone was invited to the opening. And he got pissed and stormed out halfway through and accused them of copying Le Rêve. And his basis for saying that Peep Show copied Le Rêve was in Le Rêve, like a girl falls asleep and goes into a dream world at the beginning. In Peep Show, they show this B-roll of like, it was me when I was in it, but it was the other girl who was starring in it. They show a B-roll of like you as a businesswoman and going home at the end of the day and she falls asleep and she's like dreaming of love and she goes into like this dream world. That's not copying. That's the world's oldest trope. That's Alice in Wonderland. It's the Wizard of Oz. Like that's not copying Le Rêve. Like nothing about Peep Show resembled Le Rêve except the girl falls asleep in the beginning. But he goes on to get hired to direct the new Lido show after that. Guess who full-on copies Peep Show?
Really?
Yes. The plot line of Peep Show was there was this hot girl who's like a buttoned-up businesswoman with her hair back and the glasses and the business suit, and she has no time for love, and she falls asleep into this dream. And then she goes through, like, each dance number in the show is something that's supposed to be inspiring to her. In the case of Peep Show, it was fairy tale themed, so there would be a different, like, sexy fairy tale character who would, like, do like a number. And that was supposed to teach the main character like how to be confident and how to be sexy. And at the end, she like meets a man and falls in love and then does her own dance number for like the end. So that show he did at the Lido was exactly that. It was a blonde girl with like her hair back and glasses and like a business suit. And she falls asleep and goes to this dream world. And each number was something that like taught her to be like, you know, more confident and more sexy. And as the show goes on, like she loses the glasses and lets her hair down and like takes off her clothes at the end and stuff like that. And I'm like, wait, no, you exactly copied Peep Show except for like the fairy tale theme.
Yeah.
So I don't know, maybe that was his revenge.
Yeah, it sounds
like Peep Show supposedly copying, but okay. But really, all respect, because he did do a lot of really amazing shows, but still.
So yeah, it just shows us doing like the Arc de Triomphe, and Joseph is there, our favorite tour guide.
Joseph, our tour guide. It also shows this thing that the building next to our hotel was having construction done on it, and they put the kind of facade in front that's like kind of like the heavy fabric with like print on it.
Yeah.
But it was like all distorted and cool looking.
It was really cool. Yeah. And we were like, that's so crazy. And Hef says, Kendra says, what the fuck is that? And then Hef says, you don't recognize art when you see it.
And when we see Joseph at the Ark, Kendra goes, snot boy. And I go, Mary calls him fish breath.
I know.
Which I feel so bad because I love Joseph.
I do
and we
too.
Are just like balls to the wall in commentary. Like, I think when we were doing commentary, we're in the mindset of like, our fans are listening to this, but no one else will ever hear it.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Which I kind of even feel like this with this podcast sometimes. Like, sometimes we'll say stuff and it'll like get back to the people, and I'm shocked.
Me too.
Like, as if nobody listens.
Me too. I'm like, how'd they hear that?
Yeah. How'd they know? And I say in commentary or confessional, I say the trip to Paris was even more romantic than last time. And I don't remember it being particularly romantic at all. I think they just want me to say that because, like, that's my character.
Well, I think you also add because Hef was able to join us on more of the sightseeing stuff this
time. So, like, as a way to include him.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't remember that trip being romantic.
Yeah, I don't really. Yeah, it didn't seem like it. In commentary, you said you wanted to take your parents to Paris and have Joseph be the tour guide. Did that ever happen?
Well, I wanted to take my dad because he really wanted to go. And I did. I took him in 2012. I went with like my dad, Tanya, my friend Tara. And then I just met Pasquale, so he was added last minute. So we all went to Paris and Versailles and had like the most fun trip. And then to pay for the trip, I did a club appearance in Atlantic City on the way back. So it was such a funny trip because it's like we have this week in Paris and then Atlantic City at the end,
yeah,
which was fun. But like Atlantic City is the opposite vibe of Paris.
Just for
like
sure.
So opposite. So that was fun. My mom didn't go because my mom used to be so anti-travel and like afraid of travel and never wanted to go. But she got over that because my sister and her husband moved to Amsterdam for a while because his company took him out there. And she gave birth to my niece out there. So my mom finally went and stayed out there for a while and they went all around Europe. So she finally got over her travel fear.
Oh, good.
And now all her and my dad do, they're like retired and they just like drive around the country.
Oh, good.
I don't even know where they are right now.
Well, that's good.
They went through
that
big Utah phase and were just fascinated by everything weird about Utah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, did they go do Zion and the Narrows?
I don't think they like went on any big hikes like that or anything like that, but they were like driving around and just always talking about like the giant houses in Utah and just how everything's so different over there.
I'm not kidding. That hike was like one of the coolest things I've ever done.
It looked like it.
Amazing.
At one with nature.
Yeah.
Shopping, planning, and cooking food really can be simple and stress-free. Imagine having your weekly shopping cart filled for you and your meals for the week already decided on. Taking all that work off my plate is why I love Hungry Root. Hungry Root takes the stress out of mealtime by filling your cart with personalized picks and planning your week of meals, getting smarter with every order. With over 15,000 recipes to choose from each week, many of these you can get ready in just 15 minutes or less, and a wide grocery selection, including smoothies, sweets, kids' snacks, salad kits, ready-to-eat meals, and supplements, it's easy to find options that fit your whole family's taste and nutrition goals. This is so helpful to me. The last thing I have time to do is go to the grocery store, sit around wondering what I'm going to eat. And sometimes I just get food bored, you know, when you're hungry and you can't think of what to eat. So I love that Hungry Root comes with all these amazing recipes, creative ideas. It just makes my life so much easier. And I love it. I just love seeing what they come up with for me each week. It's fun for me. Hungry Root helps you save by reducing food waste, avoiding impulse grocery buys, and skipping last-minute restaurant takeout. Hungry Root holds all its food to high standards, screening out over 200 additives, including high fructose corn syrup, artificial sweeteners, and preservatives. With the kids going back to school and needing to get into the swing of routines again, Hungry Root's quick recipes are a savior for those busy weeknights. And I love the kids' snack section where I get easy snacks to throw in lunch boxes or for them to grab when they get home. I love Hungry Root's quality, their meat quality, the snacks, the pickles, the jerky. It's just so much good food. I love it. Take advantage of this exclusive offer. For a limited time, get 40% off your first box, plus get a free item in every box for life. Go to hungryroot.com/nextlevel and use code NEXTLEVEL. That's hungryroot.com/nextlevel, code NEXTLEVEL, to get 40% off your first box and a free item of your choice for life. hungryroot.com/nextlevel, code NEXTLEVEL.
So the next scene, we are at the beach, or well, we're going to the, it shows the beach of Saint-Tropez, and we're on a boat. We get dropped off via boat, and we're heading to the beach on the boat. An interview, Kendra says, everybody has a couple places in the world they really want to go, and mine is Saint-Tropez.
At first, I was wondering, like, I wonder why she wanted to go there, but she says it later. She says, because she hears about it in rap songs all the time.
Yeah. And suddenly, Juliana's with us, and there's no information given to, like, why she wasn't there at the beginning and why she's all of a sudden there now, or where she came from, or how long she's staying, or what the point, like, there's nothing. It's just all of a sudden there she is.
I think people would assume she went out there with us and they just didn't see her in the beginning, but no, she lived in Germany and she just met us out there.
Yeah.
It's easy for her. And they start with a shot of the beach with deserted beach chairs. And it was just an interesting time because it was like right before the season started in Saint-Tropez. So no one was there, like deserted, which I thought was fun because we kind of had a lot of room and like free run of the place and stuff. But later we would go to the nightclub that was supposed to be like the big nightclub at the time. And also we're going out, not on our time, meaning Pacific time, but our time, meaning when we would go out in LA. And LA, they stopped serving drinks at 2, so we would go out at like 10. So we're going to this club at like 10, and nobody in the south of France goes out that early.
No way.
So there was literally zero people in the club but us. And it would be like that in Monte Carlo, too. So it was kind of funny.
Yeah.
We're on this boat. Kendra's flashing. We ate at this really fun beach restaurant where they bring out these giant drinks. Two tiers with like all these bottles in it and these super long giant straws, and all the servers are dressed as like different cartoon characters and stuff. It's very Grauman's Chinese in front of Hollywood Boulevard type characters and bringing the stuff out. It was very like bottle service presentation before we were
before
doing
that
bottle
was a thing.
Service.
Yeah, definitely.
Before we were doing it over here.
You're wearing a super cute bikini that I feel like I wrote is very Bridgety in here. The black and white checkered one with the yellow.
I'm obsessed with it. And it's one of the things I'm missing all my bathing suits from this era. Like, remember I said I had that box I was packing up from my old house and somebody fucking stole it. It had to have been. But Trashy Lingerie made it. And I would always go, and I have it packed for this trip too. I always do like black gingham because it reminds me of Brigitte Bardot in south of France.
Yeah.
But I was looking up for inspo pictures and I couldn't really find very many. Like, why do I think Brigitte Bardot is wearing like black and white gingham in south of France? But it's really a lot more of the imagery is Claudia Schiffer in the Guess ads in the 90s, which were based on Brigitte Bardot. So it's kind of like the inspo, what I think it is really like one thing away.
Yeah.
But no, I had that made specifically for the trip, and the dress that goes over it I wore in Rome the year before.
Oh, okay.
Because there's like a matching dress.
Yeah.
I still have the dress, but not the bathing suit. But Trashy Lingerie made it if anybody wants to go have it made.
Yeah. It's really cute.
Thanks.
In commentary, I say we need to go here for Bridget's Beaches. And I say it was on the schedule and got taken out for season one.
Huh.
Which I think is really weird. Like, because if we're going to go to the sexy, Bridget's sexiest beaches, I mean, Saint-Tropez really should have been right on there. So I wonder, I don't remember what happened and why it got removed, mm-hmm, but it should have been in there.
Yeah, that's interesting. You can see there's no one at the tables around us. Yeah. So we're very, and then these guys, and I forget what the purpose of these guys are. Like, are they selling drinks on the beach or what are they doing? The guys that wear the hats.
I thought they were selling those hats. No,
I think we asked for the hats and they came. They come back and we're drunk. And when they come back with the hats, you can see we're screaming.
Yes.
We're so excited because we were like pointing out the guys like, we love the hats. We love the hats. And they, yeah. I think they came back with the hats to surprise us.
Okay.
And I don't know if the show like wrangled that. Like, you know, it would be really cool, guys, and like slipping them some money. I don't know. But that's why we're screaming and freaking out. I don't know what those guys are doing. I think they're like selling things like sunscreen and beach towels and drinks or something.
I think so.
And I remember we came back with the hats and Laurent was like, these are the Saint-Tropez hats. Like, it's a thing down there.
Do you still have yours?
No, I had it for a really, really long time, but it was kind of like in storage out of a box and it got like really dusty and bent up and gross. And I threw it out because I was like, I'm never going to use that again. I threw so much out because I thought, what would I use this for? Not ever thinking I'd have a podcast where I want to like Easter egg it up.
But yeah.
I wish I still had that hat because it's so goofy and I love it.
I still have mine, but it is in storage at my parents' house and it's not one of the things I grabbed. So
I am no stranger to bad habits, and I know how hard it can be to quit a bad habit. You get busy, you're going through your day-to-day life, problems come up, you get stressed out, and your go-to thing is to bounce right back to whatever that, you know, supposedly soothing habit you have is. But sometimes those habits aren't so good for you. And if you are part of the 50% of people who attempt to quit vaping each year, you need to equip yourself with the right tools for the job. There's no better tool to break up with your bad habit than this episode's sponsor. Fume, the award-winning flavored air device loved by over 500,000 customers. Fume is twice as effective as the solutions you've tried, and it's backed with lab-tested safety studies, so both doctors and customers agree. Fume is the good habit, and it's one-third of the cost of your bad habit. So I received a Fume and it is not only aesthetically pleasing, but it's very satisfying to hold. It gives you something to fidget with. And it's just like this light flavored air. It's very relaxing. It comes in all these fun flavors. I got so many fun flavors, but some of my favorites were like the cinnamon that reminds me of the scent of the and taste of those cinnamon heart candies. There's a peach one. The mint is their most popular. That one's really good too. Start your guilt-free journey with the good habit and use code NEXTLEVEL to get a free gift with purchase and begin your overdue breakup. Just head to tryfume.com/nextlevel. That's tryfume.com/nextlevel and use code NEXTLEVEL to start the good habit today.
And I, speaking of not explaining where people are, what's happening, is I forgot Mary was on the trip with us until they show her at the table. Because when we talk about Mary forgetting her passport, I think we say that in DVD commentary. That's not like said in the episode. So I'd forgot Mary was on the trip until they show her at the table. She pops up out of nowhere.
Yeah. And it shows us doing jet skis, but you didn't do the jet ski.
Yeah, I don't think so.
It shows Kendra on one, and then it says, I say that Juliana was afraid, and she insisted on riding on the back of mine, so she didn't want her own.
Yeah, I think even though there's life jackets involved, like, keep in mind, I had no clue how to swim at this time.
That's right.
Still. Like, I was shocked I did all the water sports in Monte Carlo.
That's right. Yeah, I forget about that.
I still have not learned to swim yet.
And then they don't show it, but we did. What?
No, I mean, in the timeline of the show.
Oh, yeah,
you see it on the show. I get my swimming lessons.
And then they don't show it on the show, but we talk about it in commentary. We had these paddle boats or like pedal boat things that you can take out. And they had a slide on them.
So cute on the back. There was like a mini water slide.
And they don't show it.
I know.
But I thought that
cute.
Was the coolest thing.
Uh-huh.
And I remember I went in, I was like, there's a ton of jellyfish in here.
Ooh.
They were floating all around us.
Oh,
so
wow.
Apparently they weren't the stinging kind, thank God.
Yeah.
But yeah. So then in an interview, Kendra's just talking about how much fun we were having in Saint-Tropez. Hef was playing cards with Keith and Mary, and we were running around like kids, drinking. She didn't want the day to end.
It was fun. Like, even looking at the pictures we have on our Patreon, like, there's pictures of us with, like, one of the producers, just, like, all in our hats. Just, like, we were having so much fun.
Yeah. There's a picture of us topless. Did you do it, too? Or is it just Kendra, Juliana, and I?
I don't think it was me, because I was still, like, buttoned up in a whole shirt and stuff.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was fun.
And later that night, we went to that nightclub where no one was there. I mean deserted. Like, we were literally the only people in there.
Yeah. So then the next scene, we're in Monte Carlo.
Yeah. Remember we saw Magic Johnson just walking around?
Yeah, we say that too.
You just never know who you're going to see. And there's all these sick cars. In DVD commentary, I say that I was like sick the first day I got there. And I remember I had really bad stomach pains and a doctor came and just had no explanation for me. But he went around behind my back and told everybody I had gas.
Yeah.
Rude.
I know. Shows us walking into the Hotel de Paris, which is like the place to stay there. It's right next to the casino. And the hotel, I remember being like amazing.
Oh, yeah. So pretty.
Mm-hmm. And Kendra opens up the curtains and we have like an amazing view on top of all that. It shows us. Do you know what I'm about to say?
Uh-uh.
Oh, it just shows a scene with Kendra giving Hef a big hug and saying, "Thank you so much, honey." And he says, "My pleasure, darling." And it's like the in the previous scene, she's giving him a hug and saying, "Thank you, thank you, thank you." So, and I just feel like, again, it's that thing where Kendra's so grateful. The rest of us were just like, this is how it should be. Like,
oh, right,
we're
right,
not
right.
So grateful.
Yeah.
But Kendra's always grateful. And we're talking about all the press that we have to do.
Yeah, you just go down to this pavilion. All the press is waiting for you. I'm in my brown Capricorn business suit era. And Kendra's wearing a literal birthday cake as a hat. Because I think that was her actual birthday day. Like, we celebrated it the day before in Saint-Tropez, but her birthday day was, like, one of the press days. And it was a really long day. There were 2 days of press, actually. And one of the days, I think it was the second day, we ditch and go skip rocks on the beach.
Yeah, I say we had press all day long in 10 to 15-minute increments. And it was just a bunch of reporters from all over the world asking the same questions over and over again.
Yeah.
And it shows a reporter asking Kendra if she gets along with the other girls. And it cuts to me with a reporter asking about the best thing about Kendra. And then another reporter asks you if we're going to be doing any more shoots for Playboy.
And I said, we haven't been asked.
Yeah. But in commentary, we talk about what a long day that was. Like, just
a
so
really
much
long
press.
Day, yeah. And then they have this moment where Chad Michael Murray says hi to Kendra and she's talking about it in her confessional.
And the way she's talking about it, too, she was saying that it's really cool that other celebrities are fans of us and stuff. And I just put in like little dots on my thing and said it's the recognition, like we're getting recognition of being like a celebrity or being on TV or something. It's something that we were denied most of the time.
Yeah.
So even now, like when people say, oh, you're a celebrity, I'm like, no, because it's been conditioned and like beaten into us that you're not special. You're not a celebrity. Just because you were on TV doesn't make you a celebrity.
Well, that theme would go into the fight we have on the plane later, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And it kind of goes into this next scene a little bit, too, because the next scene, we are going to the prime minister's house.
It's so funny. Did you notice in your confessional, you say, after the press day, we went home and got changed and cleaned up, which obviously we mean to the hotel, but you're like, we went home.
I did notice I said that. And I'm like, well, I think people get it.
Yeah, totally.
I say that on vacation, too. Like, oh, we should go back home. Or sometimes I say go back to the hotel, but sometimes I say we should go back home and change or whatever. But there was a big cocktail party at the state minister's house for everybody. And in commentary, Kendra says that this was a cool party, but she felt super out of place. And I said, me too. And then you say, yeah, it was a little stuffy. And then And then there's also something else that goes on here too, a little bit later.
Yeah, I felt very out of place. Like I didn't know what to do at that event because it wasn't kind of the typical thing we would do where Hef kind of has a place to sit.
Yeah, it was very much mingle. And yeah, and Hef's room. Not a mingler.
And I wasn't either.
Yeah.
Whoa.
And I didn't feel right about mingling with all these people. These are all like celebrities or like major government officials for Monte Carlo. I didn't feel right about like social. Just
and I'm like, who speaks
them?
English? Probably everybody, but probably. Still, I was like,
It was very uncomfortable. But it's one of those times where I'm like, I look back on it and I feel so thankful that we had each other, though. Like, imagine like doing it on your own. Mm-hmm. Like, that would totally. Be way worse. So it was kind of like we have our own little clique and that's its own thing. I feel
like. Because at least you can just like talk to each other and not look totally dumb just standing there by yourself.
Yeah.
And you say in confessional, this was our first royal ball, but it wasn't royal yet because the prince wasn't there. So they're still building him up and like the anticipation of like meeting him.
So it shows us walking in and meeting people. Kendra says, I don't even know what the fuck a state minister is, but I met him and he was cool. Shows us taking pictures with him and his wife.
Who was the guy you thought was cute that you're talking about in commentary?
I was trying to remember his name and what show he was on. He's an actor. Yeah. Honestly, I'm blanking on his name, but I had a crush on him for a minute during this episode.
And in commentary, Kendra asks, was this the night we went and partied in an alley?
You know. I mean, I would have to look at our schedule again, too, to try and figure out what it was. But we went. I don't know if you came with us, but Kendra and I went out to a hookah bar.
I definitely didn't go to that.
And then we went to like a club late when it was really happening. And Cute Boy was there too. Mm-hmm. And we danced a little bit. And Kendra was like with somebody too.
Yeah. So was that this same day that did we go to Jimmy's this day or did we go to Jimmy's after the party at the palace the next day?
I'd have to look at the schedule to get it straight in my head. I don't know.
Because Jimmy's was like the one nightclub there. We went super early. There was nobody there. We have pictures on our Patreon of like us in our booth. And then you see the rest of the room and there's literally no one there.
Yeah. So I think this is the next night at a different club.
Oh.
I think.
Huh.
Or just later at a different club.
Yeah.
But this is all out of order too, because before any of this happens, the arrest or detaining happened.
Oh, okay.
That was the very first night. But these
are out of order.
Mm-hmm, this all happened after.
I'm shocked they let us film the state minister's house part.
Yeah.
Because it just looks like such tight quarters and it seems like it would have been too stuffy for that.
And such a personal residence.
Yeah, totally.
There's a lot of things in here that I'm surprised they let us film at. That and the casino, which we'll get to, and the palace.
Yeah. Like, again, I guess the whole point of this whole festival is, like, publicity for Monte Carlo, but still.
Yeah.
I feel like in America, like, they're tighter with stuff like that.
Yeah.
Or even in other places in Europe. Like, I feel like there were places in, a lot of places in Paris that wouldn't let us film.
Right. In interview, we say we met a lot of people from 24. We met the people from Lost, Grey's Anatomy. Those were all shows that were super popular at that time, and they were there from that.
Whatever happened to our Versailles footage? Was that in deleted scenes in season two when we went to Europe? Because remember we filmed at Versailles and we didn't have permission and we were like, we're going to ask permission later. And they had Hef like drive up in a carriage.
Did they ever use it?
I don't know. I feel like I've at least seen a cut of it. Because I remember I was wearing like 6-inch heels and I was talking about how I was the only person there in a beret.
I've seen a clip too, but I don't think any of it was ever used. I don't think they could.
Yeah, so weird. I did kind of feel a thread of feeling like I was at camp with these people because you see them at different places. Like you see them at the press pavilion, and then you see them later in the day at the party. So it kind of feels like camp a little bit.
Let me see here. Oh, also, and I wish this is one of those times where I wish I could talk to Kendra about something because we met these people at
this
club.
What if you just called Kendra up? What if you just texted her? What do you think would happen?
I don't know.
Should you try?
Like right now?
Yeah. I triple dog dare you. Because what are you going to ask? It has to be something harmless.
Well, we were at that club and we're meeting all these people. Yeah. And we met these people that owned one of those amazing yachts. And they were like inviting us back, not in a creepy way, not like, oh, come out to our yacht. It was a whole group of people like partying. They were like, you guys should come out to our, they were even saying like, bring Hef, like you guys should all come out to the yacht. And there wasn't time to do this, but we really wanted to go and like hang out on the yacht and go partying and stuff. So if we had been there any longer, like we could have done that. And Hef and you, everybody could have come and it would have been amazing. But like, I wish I could remember, like jog my memory more on that and who they were and stuff like that. Like, I would love to touch on and be like, do you remember meeting those people on that owned the yacht? Do you remember going to that club? Do you remember what it was called? Like that kind of stuff. Do you remember the guy that I thought was cute? Because I don't even remember his name.
I wonder how her memory is on stuff.
I feel like worse than ours.
Because sometimes,
I mean, yours is good, so I feel like worse than mine.
I like, because sometimes people are like, oh, when are you going to have her on the podcast? Or, oh, it's, you know, too bad we can't hear from her. And of course, you'd want to hear the perspective. But I wonder how much, as far as like details, she'd actually remember.
I don't feel like a lot, because I remember even when the last time I did talk to her and hang out with her, and I would ask her stuff about things, and she's like, oh, girl, I don't remember. I don't know. That's all a blur. I don't remember anything.
Like, that's kind of the impression I have.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I don't know how much info we'd get.
Yeah.
You know,
I honestly, like, it would be funny just to ask her, but I truthfully don't think she would remember any of it.
Yeah. Well, let me know if you decide to hit her up.
Okay. Then it shows our limo pulling up to the casino at Monte Carlo. But we were literally staying right next door to it. So I don't know. We must have went there straight from something else, maybe.
Yeah.
Or does it just show us doing that and it's not really that?
I mean, this, like you said, this is so out of order. It could be anything.
Yeah. We go in and we are marveling at how gorgeous it is inside.
Oh, it really was.
It was amazing.
Something else. I was very taken aback by the rectangle casino chips. The ones that look like a credit card. But I mean, they're heavier and bigger than a credit card.
Really? I didn't notice them.
Yeah, because they have like the regular casino chips, but then they have a casino chip for like $250,000, but it's not little. It's like a rectangle and they're kind of heavy.
Whoa. Yeah, it shows a bunch of B-roll of the building. Again, this is one of those spots where I'm like, I can't believe they let them film, because I think it's so like exclusive and private in there. And
yeah, did they have it shut down for us for a minute? Like there was nobody in there really gambling.
Yes.
We were kind of like fake gambling.
Yes.
And then Kendra's like fake stuffing casino chips in her dress to be funny. And before we left, didn't they like detain us and do like not a strip search, but almost
kind of a whole frisk down?
Yeah.
And like we had to wait while they counted every chip and made sure that every chip that they gave us to play with was all accounted for.
And I don't blame them, because those chips were for bigger money than I've ever seen in my life. Like, like if you put one of those rectangles down your dress, like you're good for the rest of your life.
Yes. Oh, and by the way, I forgot to mention, this is the dress that I was wearing to the Prime Minister's house. And my wardrobe, not all of it, not what I wore to the palace, but this and the blue dress that I wear on the red carpet were very much inspired by Grace Kelly. So I was going with that whole theme. And then, I mean, I know we weren't really gambling, but I did win.
I love it.
Yeah, and then I just had a bunch of questions, like, on my just in my notes and stuff. And it was basically what we talked about, though. How did they let our cameras in? Did they just make an exception for us? Didn't we shoot this in the afternoon, like before it actually opened?
I think that was the case.
And we weren't really playing with real money, right? This was all just for show. And then didn't we get frisked at the end 100%. And like do a whole security thing, make sure we didn't take chips? And I had all those same questions in my notes. Like, I remember, but then it's such like a crazy experience. I'm like, am I remembering this right? But yeah, we are all on the same page.
Totally. So in real life, we would film at the casino, go to the palace dinner thing that you see later in the show. And then I think, like you said, it was actually a day earlier that you guys got detained. But according to the show, you guys are about to get detained.
Yeah.
And I remember when you guys like would go out exploring and go do the other things on this trip, I remember being like so jealous I couldn't go.
Well, it's quite a thing that happened, and I can't wait to set the story straight.
Yeah. So we will see you guys next week. If you'd like more content, check out our Patreon at patreon.com/girlsnextlevel. Check out our merch at girlsnextlevel.shop. And we'll see you guys next week.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.